Hey guys, welcome back. This is episode 38 of Real Estate Investing in New York with me, Christina Kramidis. And in this episode, we are discussing what is a buyer's agent? How do you work with a buyer's agent? What value do they bring? And do you pay a buyer's agent? So stay tuned, we're covering everything here. So buyer's agent, what is the buyer's agent in a transaction? Of course, we're all familiar with the seller's agent and what they do. The seller's agent is working on behalf of the seller. They're advertising a property. They're letting people in for showings and they are negotiating, of course, for the seller to get the highest price for that property and the best terms of the deal for their seller. There is another real estate agent that is involved in the transaction that is very important to the buyer, and this is the buyer's agent. In a New York City real estate transaction, you really need to think about the brokers or the agents involved in the transaction the same way you think about the attorneys in a transaction. You have a seller and you have a buyer. So you have people that are engaging in a transaction with opposing viewpoints. And each side of the transaction has their own representation to protect their best interests and make sure that their respective client, whether they're the buyer or the seller, gets what they want in the transaction. Of course, there's always compromises, but you want to make sure that you are protected in the transaction by having your own agent representation. You might wonder, why are things so complicated here in New York? Like, why do we need so many real estate agents involved in a transaction? Isn't it just simple? I say what I want to pay for the property, seller decides if they want to take it, and we just do a deal? No, unfortunately not. New York City real estate is so complicated, very convoluted, and these buildings have very intricate systems in place that require professionals to help you navigate. Firstly, it's actually quite difficult to qualify to purchase an apartment in a New York City building. Even though you might be able to step into a bank and obtain a mortgage as a buyer, you can't just go in and purchase in a New York City building the same way. Very, very often, buildings have much stricter criteria to be approved to purchase in the building than even your bank has when they are approving you for a mortgage. New York City buildings also have very strict rules and regulations. So if you're someone that is purchasing in New York City, which covers both Manhattan and Brooklyn and Queens and the Bronx, these buildings are all functioning the same way. So if you're looking to buy in any of these areas within a building, and you want a pied-à-terre, like maybe this is your second home and you are looking for a part-time residence, or maybe you're a parent and you're looking to buy an apartment for your son or your daughter, or maybe you are looking to purchase an investment property that you would like to sublet to a tenant. Many buildings in New York City are going to have restrictions that will prevent you from being allowed to buy in those buildings. So you really need to make sure that you're looking at the right properties based on your needs. Because your buyer's agent is the person that is legally obligated to represent your best interest in the transaction. And they do a lot of things throughout the purchase process for you that helps you get to your final end goal. Firstly, as we alluded to before, the buildings are very specific when it comes to who can buy in the buildings, who's qualified to purchase there, and what the policies in the building are. Every building has different criteria for all of the above. So your buyer's agent is the person, a seasoned buyer's agent will have expertise in knowing which buildings are going to work for which people. So they're going to have you explain what it is that you want the property for, what your goals are, and then they are going to match you up with the right properties for you. Your buyer's agent is going to also help you understand the various documents that will be reviewed during the due diligence process for these buildings. So it's not like a private house where the biggest thing that you're discussing is like the price and making sure that title comes back clear and that you're not buying a big problem. But New York City buildings have a way more convoluted way of getting to that conclusion. There is a significant due diligence process that occurs before a buyer can close on an apartment in New York City. These due diligence documents include building financials, offering plans, house rules and bylaws. And there's a lot of information within these documents that once it's reviewed will actually help you understand if this building is the right fit for you. And you really look towards your professionals to help you parse through those documents. Your attorney is doing a lot of the work, but there are many times when it's really up to the real estate agent to help a buyer understand if these policies are the norm, right? I've seen co-op house rules that look very standard. Many of them are very standard. And I've seen co-op house rules that have things written in them that are very much red flags. And unless you've seen your fair share of different versions of building house rules, you might not realize that this building might feel like a crazy regime to live in. So these are things that you really need an industry expert to be able to walk you through, to be able to look at building financials and understand the implications of the numbers that you're looking at. When I purchased my property back in 2014, I bought a condo in Manhattan, and my real estate agent helped me through the process, but there were definitely certain things that were glazed over to a certain extent. And this is why the buyer's agent that you're using is so important. Though I did love the person that I worked with, the financials in the building that I bought in were actually not very sufficient, meaning that we had a need to raise money in the building. The building had a low reserve fund, meaning that there wasn't a lot of money in the building's reserve fund. So what happened was, right after I closed on that apartment and I bought that apartment, there was a assessment that got put into place that charged everyone $1,000 a year. Now, in the context of things, I'm very happy that I bought this apartment and I paid the assessment, and it's an annual fee, but it wasn't the end of the world, right? But I did feel like I wish that I understood that that was going to be coming. And at the time, I didn't exactly understand the implications of what a low reserve fund meant for me as an owner. So this is just an example of, you know, the level of detail that you want from a buyer's agent and the types of information and experience that a very seasoned buyer's agent will be able to give you. A buyer's agent also understands your likes and your dislikes on an intimate level. They're going to showings with you. They're setting up appointments for you and you are attending those appointments together. And they're collecting your feedback after each appointment. So they're starting to really understand and be able to look at listings and say, my client's going to like this or my client's not going to like this. And the reason why this comes in handy is because if your buyer's agent is a seasoned professional, they're in and out of apartments all day long. There's only so much that a search on Zillow or StreetEasy is going to get you as a consumer. You want to know about the property that didn't come up in those initial search results, or maybe that property was on page 8 of your search results and you didn't see it, but it's the right property for you. Real estate agents that are doing this full time, that pride themselves in this industry and in their work, are in and out of apartments all day long. So for example, it's very often that I take a client out and I set up appointments that I think would be a good fit for them. And we look at things and it goes well, but their dream apartment was not in the mix that day. And a week later, I might go into an apartment with someone else and find out that is, like, while I'm standing in that apartment, I'll be like, this is the apartment for this other client. Like, this is what they want. And it often happens that way. So your agent will make strategic recommendations for you if you're working with a proper buyer's agent on properties that might work very well for you, even if it's not something that you found yourself. Very often I bring my clients into properties that they didn't want to see. They'll say, like, let's skip this one. And I'll tell them, I don't know, I think this one is really worth looking at if you just trust me on it. So when they agree to go in, very often it's a great property for them. So there are certain things that you don't really see from the listing description. You might not be able to get all the details or really know what that property looks like. In this case, your buyer's agent will help you with that. The buyer's agent is also fiercely negotiating on behalf of the buyer. So whereas the seller's agent is trying to get the highest price for the property, the buyer's agent is trying to get the lowest price for the property for their buyer. And oftentimes it's not only a matter of the price. A lot of times a buyer has different needs other than, you know, I want to pay $10,000 more or less for this property. Needs might include timing. Like, are you selling a different property and maybe we need to build in timing for you, look at buildings that are going to give you the timing that you need to make this happen properly? Or you might have any other list of needs or requirements for this transaction, and it's really up to your buyer's agent to properly communicate them to the other side, let you know as the buyer what is realistic and what's not realistic, and help you navigate that process. The buyer's agent also has the best chance of getting a buyer's offer accepted. So very often we see offers come in from various clients. Let's say we have a listing and we receive 5 offers, and a few of them have buyer's agents that submit the offer, and a couple of them maybe don't have a buyer's agent. The offers that come in from people that do not have a buyer's agent are so dramatically different than the offers that come in from people who are being represented by professionals. And it really makes a difference in how well your offer is able to be accepted. There are certain reasonable parameters that you work within when you're submitting an offer for a client. So when you have a buyer's agent doing it professionally for you, they know what the seller's agent needs to know about the buyer in order to get that offer accepted. They list out all of the most important things that the seller's broker needs to understand in order to properly communicate that offer to the seller. And oftentimes that offer is supported by real data. So that offer is very educated. It will be a fair discount. Let's say if they're asking for a discount for their buyer, it's fair, but it is within reason, right? It's something that's realistic. Whereas very, very often when we receive offers from those customers who are not represented by a buyer's broker, we see some funny stuff. We see some lowball offers that are totally unreasonable. Like, it looks like no comparables were used in the submission of that offer. Or one time we had like a really funny offer I remember we received from I think they were like school teachers, and they submitted an offer on one of our listings, and they submitted an offer that ended in like 3.14 and like a giant long number after it, and it was essentially pi. Like, they wanted their offer to like be the number pi because they literally liked the number. And we were looking at the offers and comparing them, and we needed to present the offers to our seller. And when we got to that one, we were just like, to be honest with you, I don't even know how to explain like what went into this offer, but this is here's a random number to consider, seller. And like, that's, and they obviously didn't get the, you know, you don't get the property that way. So there's a lot that goes into submitting an offer for a buyer. There's a lot into crafting the strongest possible story for a buyer too. We highlight why that buyer has the best chance of closing on the property, is the best fit for the building, and the best person in general to work with throughout that several month long process before you get to the closing table. These are all things that the buyer's agent is doing for their buyer client. The buyer's agent also gives the buyer access to the best referrals in the industry. So if a buyer is taking out a mortgage, they're going to need to speak with mortgage lenders. And if the buyer, regardless of what you're doing, if you're buying a property, you need to, a buyer needs to speak with real estate attorneys. And there's really no excuse for using someone that is not the best in the business. There's enough good resources at different various price points that makes it extremely accessible for every buyer to be working with an immaculate lender and attorney. So the buyer's agent knows who those people are. As you could imagine, an agent that's seasoned is doing dozens and dozens of deals a year. And they're seeing so many loan officers and attorneys and how they do their work. And as they see good ones, and as they have great experiences with the best ones, they get added into the agent's referral list. So when a buyer needs referrals, we only are referring the absolute best. The buyer's agent is also project managing the entire transaction for the buyer, which includes the steps involved with coordinating with the lender, if there is one, coordinating with attorneys, making sure that everything is happening on time. And a big one is working on the building application package. Even if a buyer is purchasing a condo, that application package can be very entailed. Reference letters, detailed financials will need to be submitted. The only thing about a condo that's a bit easier is that you might not get rejected. You probably won't get rejected as often as you would in a co-op. But truly, a buyer has a lot of work to do on that application, whether they're buying a co-op or a condo. And their buyer's agent is the person that is managing that overall document, helping you put it together, and they can be hundreds of pages long. So this is definitely a very important value add. A buyer's agent also will inform a buyer and be able to inform a buyer if something's simply not right. If something's not going right in the process, if you're a first-time home buyer, you might not realize that something's awry. Whereas a buyer's agent will have been through this process hundreds of times and can alert a buyer if there is something going on that is unusual. If timing is taking too long for something to get approved, etc., there's always opportunities for that buyer's agent to properly guide that transaction and let the buyer know if there's an issue. There are things written in your contract, if you're a buyer, that you might not even realize are there, deadlines for things. So let's say a co-op is taking too long to approve your application and it's been months and you don't know what to do at this point. Your buyer's agent will be able to inform you your legal right to push for that approval and what you have the ability to do if you don't get that approval in time without losing your contract deposit. That's just one example. Think about like a construction job. A contractor can come into a project or an inspector can come into a project and pinpoint exactly what was done correctly about that work, and they can pinpoint what was not done correctly about that work. Something that wasn't done correctly might have dangerous implications later. This is the same value that your buyer's agent is providing you with. If something is not correct, you want to be alerted of it, and it really does take an industry professional to be able to identify when those things are coming up. The main takeaway from this episode, the main message that I would like for you to hear if you are a buyer looking for property in New York City, is to intentionally choose your buyer's agent. You want to make sure that you are looking at your buyer's agent's list of sales, their criteria, their sales ability, how professional they are. This all makes a big difference in your overall experience. There's no reason why you should use whoever you happen to stumble across, or even like a family member that happens to do real estate. You really want to make sure that you're choosing a professional for the right reasons, and double as good for you if that person that you stumbled on or the family friend is great, because then it's amazing. You get to work with a friend and they're also amazing. So it's just something to think about in terms of there is a lot that the buyer's agent is doing, and you want to make sure that you're working with the best buyer's agent possible. And the fact that if an agent is a seller's agent, they are working in the best interest of their seller. Their seller is their client. They are not prioritizing the buyer. That's something very important to remember. A quick story. I was recently working with a buyer And we visited a property, and that buyer had actually previously submitted an offer on that property that had gotten rejected. They were working with a different buyer's agent. They stopped working with that agent, and I started working with this particular client. So we revisited the property, and we still really liked the property, even though there was already an offer that was rejected for this buyer. We decided to submit a different offer on the property. We submitted an offer that was supported by data, that was presented in the way that I described earlier, and that offer actually got accepted, and my buyer ended up purchasing that property. And the real estate agent actually told me that the reason why the buyer's previous offer was rejected was because the buyer seemed unqualified based on the messy and unprofessional nature of the prior buyer's agent and the way that offer was submitted. And that stuck with me because it doesn't just come down to the number. Like, the second offer we sent in was not really better than the first one. It was just submitted differently. And it gave the seller faith in us. And that is how we were able to proceed with the property. So how does a buyer's agent get paid? When a seller decides that they want to list their property for sale, they hire a real estate agent to market the property and to sell the home for them at the best possible price for them, which is obviously the highest possible price. The agent that they're speaking with is the seller's agent, otherwise known as the listing agent. And this agent becomes responsible for selling the property for that seller. The seller's agent is going to communicate to the owner of that property or the seller what the cost is going to be to successfully sell that unit. They're going to provide the seller with the commission. It's usually a percentage of the purchase price, and the seller's going to agree to whatever the price ends up being to sell that apartment successfully. That agreed upon number for the price that it is going to cost to sell that apartment, 99.9% of the time, encompasses both of the real estate agent's commission in that transaction. So now that the seller understands what it's going to cost to successfully sell that property, they're going to have buyers come in that are represented by buyer's agents or not represented by buyer's agents. It doesn't really matter because most of the time, the seller is paying out that predetermined amount of money on that sale regardless. So that is how the buyer's agent gets paid. Only on the final closing of that sale does the buyer's agent get to, and the seller's agent, all the agents get to collect their share of the commission. This means that mostly all of the time, there is no cost to the buyer to have the service of the buyer's agent. Now, there are some rare occurrences where a seller has the conversation with their agent on what it's going to cost to list the property, and the seller does not want to agree to a commission fee for the brokers that will cover paying both the seller and the buyer's agent. Every so often this happens where you'll have a property that's listed on the market for a very low rate. And ultimately what happens here is that the cost of everybody's commission and the buyer side commission is not built into or buffered into the price that they agreed upon with their broker, and the buyer in this scenario will end up making up the difference in terms of making sure that their buyer's agent is properly compensated. This is usually a few percentage points of the overall purchase price, and oftentimes even less, because likely there is something that the seller is willing to offer to the buyer's agent of the deal, and the buyer would just be making up the difference. If you do happen to run into this rare scenario where you would be paying your buyer's agent a couple of percentage points on your purchase price, if you're getting a mortgage, there's a very easy way to do this. You can actually bake the commission payment into the overall price of the property purchase. So just put that commission amount right on the top of your purchase price, and you can take a mortgage out for the entire total, essentially financing your buyer's agent's cost. And at closing, the seller can give you a closing credit, which is just money right back to you for the full amount that you would be giving your buyer's agent. So in this way, you were able to finance that payment. So you're paying very little in cash and the rest is just baked into your mortgage and you have the cash to give your buyer's agent their fair share of the commission. This makes it very easy for everyone and ensures that you get the benefit of your buyer's agent no matter what at a very low cost to you. You might not know that regardless of whether you have a buyer's agent when you begin your home search in New York City, you're going to be linked up with a buyer's agent at some point. It is pretty much inevitable. So the next episode that I'm sharing on this channel, you're going to want to tune into. And this explains exactly how pretty much every buyer is going to end up working with a buyer's agent or at least coming into contact with a buyer's agent. And of course, the overall importance of making sure that you are strategically choosing who that real estate agent is. So stay tuned for the next episode. You're going to find it very, very interesting. And as always, if you enjoyed this episode, please share it. If you're listening on the podcast, please share this episode with a friend who you think might benefit from this information. And if you're watching on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you receive new episode updates. If you ever have any questions after you listen to one of these episodes, you can always email me. My email address is christina.cremitas@element.com. I love hearing from you guys. And as always, looking forward to the next one.